Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, with something else at play when a series of deaths seem to follow a single soul? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And of course, if you like the program, become an extra podcast person. That's our premium area, if you will. There you'll get access to our advanced episodes. You also get an exclusive EPP bonus episode. It's a full episode we make every week exclusively for EPP members in a very unique way. Very interesting storytelling on that. You get that. You also get our full archive of episodes, which is literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. There's thousands of them to binge away on. You could start on this on October 1st and probably listen to every single episode nonstop, and you will probably go into November. So that's how many episodes are there for you to binge away on. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to pass this along. Yesterday, I had lunch with a friend, and this is the kind of friend she is. I have not seen her in a while, mainly because I haven't been feeling well, but I started feeling better. And I said, let's go do lunch. So we met up. We grabbed a couple of sub sandwiches from a shop. And I said, well, let's go to the graveyard. So that's where we went. And we sat in a beautiful graveyard here in town next to the river. And we had lunch. And then something very odd happened. So I consider myself a little bit of an empath. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I get this really weird feeling that something is going on outside the car to our right. And all of a sudden I just happened to look at her, and she breathed in very deeply, and she had like a single tear come down her eye. She goes, do you feel that? So I pretty much wrapped up my sandwich at that point and drove the hell out of there. I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but it was the strangest lunch I've had in quite some time.
Weird.
I don't even know what to say about it. We are in a very odd location in the cemetery. I was drawn to park there. A lot of mixture of older stones, like really old stones and newer stones. And it just seemed like a place to be. And then all of a sudden, it was like something was there with us. And we both felt it, not just me.
How did you guys talk more about it as you drove out of there?
I said to her, that is so strange because, you know, I obviously felt something because I had stopped and I was just sitting there for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I said, what did you feel? Yeah. And she said, I felt despair. And I said that I felt like when my empath stuff is kind of weird, like I don't see people's the way they died or anything. I see the way they lived. And I said to her, I said, I felt like it was a really hard life. Whoever was trying to communicate with us had a really hard life. But there were, you know, out of the glances of the eye, there were shadows moving between some of the tombstones and the shadows of the trees and stuff like that. It's like, it was very strange.
I mean, it's like you're picking up on the emotions of the person, like both of you did in your own ways, of almost like as if they were to walk through you. You're getting like, you know, sometimes you're going to get those just like chills, you know, and you just kind of shake for a second. At least I do every now and then. It's almost like you are feeling what they're feeling for that, you know, second. And it's like a wave of emotion that comes through and you don't know why it's happening.
It was really weird. And it was almost like I was afraid to look out the window on her side of the car because I was sure something was going to be standing there. And so that's why I drove off, because I just don't want to stick around for lunch anymore.
But
we'll go back at some point. We'll go back.
They should put picnic tables in cemeteries. I think that would be great.
Well, that's so interesting because I did go on a tour of this particular cemetery this summer. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they said was this was chosen as a location along the river because families used to picnic in these locations. It was the place people would go and have family gatherings and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it is very picturesque. There's a very wide range of different ages of stones out there.
Yeah.
It's a really cool location, but it just felt off yesterday.
Well, the thing, I mean, back in the day, too, I mean, it wasn't just like it was a park and then it became a cemetery. People use cemeteries as parks.
Correct.
And that's what I think was kind of neat, too. I think what I want to do is when I kick it, I think I want my grave. This would be kind of hard to do, like on a marble, but I don't know. I don't want it to get broken either because somebody's going to screw with it. It has to be something that can't be like damaged. My gravestone, I want it to be a picnic table. And then you can go there and you can eat on my grave. Come over for dinner.
That is really funny because at this particular grave, the cemetery, and I took her to see it. She'd never seen it before. Yeah. There's a family plot there that's relatively new. And the headstone for the family is actually a recliner. The guy had a favorite chair. And so they made the headstone. You can actually go sit in it. It's full size, human size recliner.
Out of granite?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
It's unbelievable. It's like, wow, that is so cool. I would never think to do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love it. I think that'd be fun. I mean, that's what I want to do. If I can, if it doesn't like take every penny I have like away from like my daughter at some point, it's like, I know, honey, you get this inheritance, but daddy really wanted the picnic table, a headstone. I'm sorry. It was going to cover, you know, the college tuitions and it was going to cover your, you know, mortgages and you'd be great. But daddy needed the $1.5 million picnic table headstone.
That's right. That's right. So, and nobody will ever use it because it's too creepy for him to use.
Exactly. So. Sorry, honey. Sorry. I worked all my life to have it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story here. It says this happened in 2004. This was the year I graduated high school, but that's about the only good thing that happened that year. In 2004, I experienced a close death for the first time when my uncle and hero died. We have a big family, so death was nothing new, but my uncle was 38, had five kids, three of which were under the age of five. This death hit us to the hardest. In fact, our family was never really the same after his death. Following his death, we had three other family members die that year. Felt like death was all around us in 2004. In fact, every leap year does this to us, but that's another story for another day. However, it seems the entire world experienced our leap year curse last year. In one day in September, we were tired of mourning and needed something to celebrate. What better than my brother and my dad, whose birthdays were one day apart? This was going to be the first event that my uncle's family was going to join us for, and my grandma wanted everything to be perfect. I was enlisted to make this happen, as was my grandma's best and most loyal helper. I love my grandma to death. And I should have felt lucky that I was the only person she trusted to get her house in order. I'd give her anything to spend that time with her again. But at the time, it felt like a burden. I was probably out of gas, or my mom had to come by to wake me up or something. I can't remember. But my mom drove me to my grandma's house. At the time, my mom drove a dark purple minivan, Ford Windstar, I believe. She dropped me off. I was in the back of the van, had those sliding doors, so I hop out, close the door. Being a teenage girl, I don't know why I did this, but I always waited to see my reflection in the door. When I got out of the car, I liked looking at me, I guess. So I do the quick check in the window, then I get out. I notice someone walking across my grandma's front yard behind me. It was a woman with shoulder-length black hair, a short-sleeve button-up shirt, some high-water pants, and I'm thinking, who the hell is here? My grandma's gonna lose it. Let me pause here for a second. A year earlier, my grandma had an incident at her house where we presumed she just got dizzy and passed out in her front door one day. There were ambulances, fire trucks, and everything else there. But everyone saw a man there that none of us knew and wasn't in any kind of uniform. At the time, I remember thinking he must have been an emergency worker, but no uniform. So we all began to wonder if she walked in during a would-be robbery and was knocked out. She never could say for sure, so we had to consider it. So I see someone walking across the yard, someone I don't know and wasn't supposed to be there. So I whip around real fast to see who it was. I turn around and no one was there. I turn back around and there was no one in the reflection anymore either. I just stood there in shock. What the fuck did I just see? I stand there in shock for a moment or two, and my mom must have noticed because she rolls down the passenger window and asks, "What's wrong?" I explain to her what I just saw and we're both just like, "That's weird." Honestly, I had no idea what I saw, and I sure didn't think it was a ghost. I just knew I saw a person, and then they were just gone. I wish I had considered it a ghost. I wish I had looked across the street to see where the person came from. Maybe things would have gone differently. I get the house ready for the party. Family comes over. We're having a great time. But then someone points out that there are fire trucks and ambulances outside. I immediately get a pit in my stomach because one of my cousins of my dead uncle mentioned it was like when her dad died. I felt sick for her, and my aunt goes out to find out what was going on. As it turns out, the woman across the street looked through her fence and saw her next-door neighbor lying on the ground. She then looked over. The neighbor was dead. She'd fallen on a pair of garden shears and died in her backyard. I felt sick. She had just died when I got out of the car. Did I witness her passing? To this day, I still can't pinpoint exactly how I feel about that. Mainly, I feel sad that she died alone in her backyard. I can't help but feel like I could have done something, or at the very least could have been there with her in her last moments. There were a lot of weird things that happened at my grandma's house, but that was by far the most meaningful experience that I've had. I have to say, I think it's the first death by garden shears that we've had on the show. So
I'd never heard of one before, and I'm an avid listener of the podcast. So, and as soon as you said that, I'm like, ooh, what a horrible way to go.
So would it be like their tip up? I mean, yeah, I guess like you fall on them and they just kind of go right into you.
I guess.
I would just think that they'd be flat on the ground when they fall, but maybe it was just the right angle at the right time. And yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of freak stuff that, you know, happens and you're like, how did that turn so badly? The interesting thing is, and I've heard of this before, is people who don't normally see things, but had the ability to see things in reflections. And probably about a year or so ago, I was doing an investigation with a woman who was, for the lack of a better terminology, she was having visitors at her home, and they were always with her. She couldn't see them unless she looked in windows or mirrors, and then she saw them all over the place. Even like walking down the street, she saw it following her. So I think there is something to that, whether or not this woman saw that person leave their body through the window. I'm not really sure, but it's there is an interesting side to that.
It's interesting because she almost sounds like she would have been out. Like the woman that she saw walking in that strange way was dressed in, like, I guess what, you know, someone might wear when they're outside working, you know, a garden too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you realize you're dead and you're like, shit, I'm dead. Thank God I don't have to fucking garden anymore. And then she just walks. It's like, I'm out. I'm not living here. I'm not even living in this house anymore. I'm done. Time to go see what death is like. I don't, like, that was quick. Like, she just took right off. Not a whole lot of reasoning. Like, what happened? Like, I'm dead. I'm out, bitches. But yeah, that's an interesting one. It's always interesting when you reflect on those, because she didn't even have, like she said, the notion at the time that it was a ghost. Just who's a strange person that seems to have just disappeared.
Right.
Oh, thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Summer, and I wanted to share another story. You guys had played my story a while back about some experiences at the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. And when I was an adolescent living at a house in Orange County, my parents were going through a divorce, and I was probably around 13. And I don't know if this would be what you would call poltergeist, but there were so many different things that happened in our house. And the interesting thing was my parents collected strange artifacts, also things from movies, scary movies, things from the set. And we even had an old, I think it was a World War One wicker casket that was empty in one of the rooms on display, and a lot of cultural artifacts, things from Tibet, statues, you know, all sorts of interesting things. So it was quite a lot of different probably energies in the house. And around the time my parents were going to get divorced, it's a stressful time of adolescence, and there was a lot of interesting things that started happening. And so I'll try and share what I can remember. One of them was in the mornings when I was getting ready with my mom. Sometimes I would notice that the faucet would drip. And one morning in front of both of us, I was trying to learn how to put on makeup, looking at the cover of Cosmo magazine. And as I'm standing there next to her, I noticed that the dripping of the faucet suddenly started to turn to a really small stream. We both got scared. But what was really unsettling is we started to see the actual knobs turn on the faucet, and then it was full blast. And she and I both ran out, hearts racing, very scared, not sure what happened. That never happened again, but definitely something that was unforgettable. We also had a room where my bedroom was right next to my parents' bedroom and shared a wall. And toward the end, before we all separated and moved out, I used to hear knocking in the walls in between our doors, to the point I would listen for a while, think, am I just falling asleep? You know, maybe it's my imagination. And lo and behold, I would wake up my parents. We would search. I thought maybe there's a rodent in the walls. Nothing would be found, but we could still hear them knocking really subtly. Some nights for probably a period of a couple months. That's the same room also where one time I woke up and I did have a candle. I probably should not have had it on. I fell asleep. It was at the foot of my bed on a speaker above my TV. I was probably watching Up All Night with Rhonda or something back in the day. And I woke up and the speaker was on fire. But that could have been something not paranormal, just, you know, not being cautious enough. I was into getting scared and ghost stories. So I remember my friend and I decided to try something called ghost riding. We were lying on the ground with our backs to the door on our tummies, you know, our legs in the air, talking and doing this thing where we have the paper out and our pen, and you're supposed to sit there and let the pen just kind of do its thing and move. And we both felt like someone was behind us, and we kept looking, but it was a really strong presence. It was very scary, just have that feeling of being watched. But we kept looking, and my door was closed. And what was interesting is my door was kind of a loud one. It made a lot of noise when you really got it shut completely or first started opening it. We proceeded to try the ghost riding, and when we turned around, my door was actually wide open. And neither of us heard anything. And so we both panicked, ran down the long corridor of the hallway where all the bedrooms and bathrooms were, through the big tile family room, which went to the kitchen and into the backyard. And we were screaming and kind of laughing, thinking maybe it was a prank. We were the only ones in that area, though. And then we really realized how big that was, that this just happened. And we peered inside from the sliding door. And when we looked back in, it was also really scary because the door was now closed that we had just ran through that separated the long corridor, the hallway with all of the rooms from the family room. It was almost like something came in, something didn't want us back. I don't know. A couple other things that happened. One time I was in that very same kitchen. I used to love pickles and cheese as a snack. I went to grab a pickle jar and it exploded in my hand, and I screamed and had my parents help me clean it up. And another time in that very same kitchen, right behind the fridge was a trash can that had a lid that was not attached, and the lid actually flew up and hit me my lower back and then dropped to the floor. So those were some of the memories. It was quite scary. The only other thing that happened that I can recall is one night my mom had awoken to hearing someone calling out a name sounding really clear in the house, calling out my dad's name, actually, and really loud. And it startled her to the point she got up and searched the house and no one was there. Oh, and that reminds me. And one other time, we collected also like giant speakers. My dad used to be a musician. There was something from the set of a movie, I think, that had to do with Elvis that might have been filmed in Hawaii. And one of the giant speakers that was stacked, it sounded like that fell. It woke everyone in the house. We searched the house. There was nothing out of place. And to this day, we have no idea what made this giant crashing sound. After we moved out, nothing happened at the new house in a different location. And I don't know if it was fraught with energy from some of those artifacts or what was going on in the family dynamics, but that was the most paranormal activity ever experienced. I mean, we had old Ouija boards. We had all sorts of things. So goodness knows what it could have been. But I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much for a fun show. Definitely helps get through the pandemic. I hope everyone stays safe and well. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. I mean, it could have been a lot of things. What are your thoughts?
I mean, there's so much going on there. It could be, you know, what she mentioned, poltergeist could certainly have something to do with that, or their own energy feeding some of that. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like if there's artifacts in the house and the house had any sort of energy and they were prone to having things happen, it was just going to happen. She was talking about the ghost writing and things like that. A lot of mediums will do that where they will write and whatever kind of comes out. A lot of them claim that that comes from the spirit world. And, mm-hmm. and to me, that's just like using a Ouija board itself if you're doing that. So I would just preface all that by saying, be very careful if you do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt, because you just don't know exactly what's going to happen or what you're going to get. And you are still end up being, you know, sitting there wondering what was all this, and, you know, what could its repercussions be if, you know, nothing else has been seen. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And there we go. It loaded. It's just sitting there not loading. Here we go. Phone call. Hi. Let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony. It's Maria. I'm calling in a story about my son's experience. He was 5 at the time. My husband and I had experiences in this house before, and it's our old farmhouse, and I'm pretty sure I wrote in about the lady, and I've also told the story about Legoland. Femur Fridays was fucking hilarious. I was actually in my office, like, spinning in my office chair, laughing hysterically. I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favorite things is when you just, like, go into a commercial. But anyway, it was great. It was great. But back to the story. So my son, it was really late at night. My husband was playing video games on the computer. I had passed out on the couch because of the stomping that I heard one night going up all of my stairs, and it wasn't my husband, and he didn't hear it. I was the only one that heard it. But yeah, so I passed out on the couch waiting for my son, for my husband to go to bed. We're ready for bed. So as routine, you know, he wakes me up, like, we hold hands, we go up the stairs. And this was, like, in the early days of discovering the lady. She was dressed in, like, period clothing. She stood in the doorway, but she didn't stand there. She more floated. I don't know if she was hanged or, like, what, but she had really long, dark hair. She had dark eyes, and she just was sad. Like, she was sadness. And it was really hard to face her before going upstairs to go to bed every night. So my husband and I would face her together every single night. And, you know, we would go upstairs and, you know, just say goodnight to her just to be nice. And eventually, like, she grew on me. I eventually was like, goodnight, lady. Like, I hope that, like, you're not sad anymore one day or whatever. And as we get to the top of the stairs, is my son's room, is the first room on the left. And we get to the top of the stairs, and I just, as I'm walking by, I like to peek in at my children. And I peek in, and my son, instead of being in his bunk bed, he was on the floor underneath. We had removed the bottom bunk to make it a loft bed. So he was under his bed on his car mat with his Hot Wheels, and there was a second placement of Hot Wheels race cars as if he was playing with somebody. And I was like half asleep but totally shocked, and I said, Liam, what are you doing up? You know, it's really late and you have school in the morning. And he looks at me and says, I'm playing with my nighttime friend, Mommy. And I told him, I said, well, it's time for your nighttime friend to go home because you have school in the morning and I don't want you being, you need to sleep. I don't want you being too tired for school in the morning. And so he got, you know, I got him ready. I got him up and tucked him in and kissed him and sat with him until he fell asleep. My kids had very, very hard time falling asleep. My 3-year-old daughter had night terrors. My son gave me a very difficult time about going to bed, but he's more quiet about it. In that house, he had told my mother that the devil watches him sleep at night. And this was about a year and a half after the incident with his nighttime friend. I have other stories, but it looks like I might be coming up on my time. So another story for another day. Thank you so much. I love the show. I listen to it every day. My job is very boring. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you've enjoyed my story. I have so much more to come. And thanks again for Femur Fridays, because like really that was beautiful. All right. Have a good one.
I'm playing with my nighttime friend.
Okay, like I was just going to say to you, did that not just creep you out?
Oh my God, the devil watches me sleep?
Did you notice when she's telling the story, when she got to the part about her son, her voice, her energy level dropped way down?
Yeah.
It almost seemed like there was a little bit of fear there or something.
Her son's name is Damien. Did you catch that part?
I didn't.
I'm kidding. I'm making that up.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. You throw the kid thing in there and it gets really kind of interesting. But yeah, I noticed a change in her at the start of the story. And then at the end of the story, she was much more calm. And I don't know if she was relieved telling it or maybe it bothered her a little bit, but my nighttime friend is playing with me.
And the devil watches him sleep. I mean, that's what takes it to like the new level. Like the nighttime friend is playing with me is creepy enough, but then the devil watches me sleep.
I'm not kidding you.
Whoa.
I don't care where I was living at that point. If my son said that to me, we would be packing bags and we would be going to live at Aunt Myra's house or something like that.
Yeah.
I just would.
I couldn't deal with that one. That's not like it's okay, honey. That's your teddy bear over in the corner. That's all it. It's not Satan.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like that's just some creepy ass weird shit that a child said that, I mean, you can't unhear that.
Yeah, she's got to call in with more of that story or a continuing story because that's just very, very interesting.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to sleep now tonight. I watched Conjuring 3 over the weekend too. Yeah. And I know it was over the top, but it freaked me out enough that I was kind of in a funk Sunday night. So
really? I watched it too. I thought it made Ed and Lorraine look far too much like superheroes.
I agree. I agree. The overproduction of it this time around was horrible. Yeah. But when you start talking about some of the subject matter they were in, it's like, you know,
I that was one of those cases I really didn't know a ton about until after I watched the movie. And I was actually kind of surprised how much of the storyline actually did follow the story of what went on in the thing. But I still feel like I'm waiting for like Ed to like rip off his shirt and there's like a superhero vest or something on in Conjuring 4. And then Lorraine like throws fireballs at somebody. I think like we're almost at that point in these movies where
I think you're right.
It's like, this is not even remotely, you know, I don't know. It's messed up. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things with Ed specifically, not so much Lorraine, that the allegations and things like that that are out there that I've been unaware of until the last couple of years that kind of creep me out. And I don't know.
It was a strange situation. It was a strange time period for people like them. It was, you know, the stories you hear is kind of strange. I will say this. If I would have known when I was going to school in high school that I could be a demonologist and all that kind of stuff, I would have taken a much different career path in my life. Because if I knew that there were stuff like that out there, sure. I would have, you know, gone to school for it or something. I wouldn't be sitting here doing podcasts and radio. I'd be out there, you know, being like Ed Warren and taking my cape and flying around and saving the world. But
that's Conjuring 5, where they have the cape and they can fly. Next one, they just introduce the slight superpowers, and then it's like they're fucking Aladdin at the next one. It's going to be amazing.
There's a lamp. Somebody rubs the lamp and it all goes to hell.
And then Conjuring 6, they come back from the dead as Jaws. And so it's like the combination of two movies in one. It'll be really exciting, though. Everyone is going to want to see this with their families. Summer of 2025. I don't know what.
And John Williams does the soundtrack for it, too. So
from the grave. It's going to be.
He's not dead, is he? Is he dead?
I think he's dead. Isn't John Williams
dead? No, I don't think John Williams is dead.
Okay, I thought he was. I thought that was like one of those I've read about in the last couple of years where... It was one the other day that I'm like, oh, I thought they already were dead. He's 89 years old. Okay, so
there you go. He's still around. He can do another soundtrack or two. It's all going to sound the same,
except
it'll be just like Star Wars and everything else he's done. But it'll be good.
Except it's being recorded on a 1984 Child's Casio keyboard from Pomida, and it's and it only can do one note at a time technically. So it kind of sounds like an 8-bit video game. But it's going to be a great soundtrack. So just, you know, hold on to your seats, kids. This is going to be a musical masterpiece. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.